بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صيام يوم عاشوراء أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي بعده. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أو السنة التي قبله. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من صام يوما من المحرم فله بكل يوم 30 يوما، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us all recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi, salli wa sallim daiman abada ala Habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Amma ba'd. Ulama-i kiram, respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us the opportunity of witnessing a new Islamic year, the commencement of 1444 after Hijrah, with the arrival of this blessed and mubarak month of Muharram, which is the very first month of our Islamic calendar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the beginning of another Islamic year. As we know, our Islamic calendar commences with the month of Muharram. It ends off with Zulhijjah and it commences with Muharram, both these months. In fact, the month before also, Thalathun Mutawaliyatun, 3 months consecutively, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah and Muharram, all 3 months are from Ashhurul Hurum, the 4 Minha Arba'atun Hurum, the 4 auspicious months, and the 4th month being Rajab. 3 are consecutive, the month of Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, 3 great months. 2 months are already over. We are now into the 3rd of those months. And we see in this that our year ends off on a very auspicious month. Our year starts off on an auspicious month. We take the Gregorian calendar and we see that it starts off with the month of January. And some people, they don't know how to pronounce it properly, but maybe their pronunciation is indication of something that is a reality. They say instead of January, they say January. So that is what it is all about, that it is all about January, animalistic behavior, animalistic tendencies and behavior and actions. We see that even the very moment the month starts off, the very moment the clock strikes midnight, that is when all the most evil and the most immoral acts take place. All the drinking, drugging, you know, fornication, and jumping, jiving, dancing, all these vices, evils, they end it off with that note and they start that year off on that note. What good can they be in a year that ends off like that, in a year that starts off with reveling and partying and all these vices? What goodness can they be? But subhanallah, the beauty of our Islamic calendar, and for this we must make so much of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala blessed us with such a beautiful deen, a complete and perfect way of life, deenul Islam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَيُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah gave us the perfect deen. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. Allah gave us this perfect way of life, this deen of Islam. And we see the beauty of this deen of Islam, subhanallah. Every aspect of this deen has got a lot of beauty. It is very natural, it is conducive, it is very much in keeping with the fitrat and the very instincts and nature of man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this the natural deen, and therefore it man's natural instincts find a consonance and resonation with this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should always make a lot of shukr to Allah. Whenever we think of some aspect of Islam, beautiful aspect of Islam, always make shukr. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukru ala al-iman. Alhamdulillahi ala al-islam. Shukr to Allah on this beautiful deen of Islam, that Allah gave us this best way of life, this most beautiful deen. The more we express gratitude and shukr, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen us in our deen, and the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up on us the beauties of this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open us upon us the secrets of the all these teachings of this beautiful deen. Ulama have written beautiful books on this very subject. Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi wrote a book that is called Mahasinul Islam. The beauty of Islam, all the beauties of Islam, and all the wisdoms of Islam, and even a book on the wisdoms of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the mysteries and the secrets behind various laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, we don't need that to practice our deen. All we need to know, it is Allah's hukam, it is Allah's order, it is the command of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is sufficient for us to make amal and practice. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also demonstrated through the knowledge and foresight and wisdom of the ulama, all these mysteries and beauties of our deen. So it is an additional factor of conviction, of inner satisfaction with regards to all the laws of our beautiful deen, that we must do it with the full conviction, the full inner satisfaction that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the best. There cannot be anything better than this. This is for our betterment of dunya and akhirah. So my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this beautiful system of the Islamic calendar. We start off our year on a beautiful note of the month of Muharram, and we go through the whole year, and we end off our year again on the month of Zulhijjah. And this beautiful Islamic calendar, different events we find, different virtues have been assigned to various months in the Islamic calendar. These virtues have also been assigned by Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on this I want to make mention of a very important principle of our deen, dear friends. And that is, remember, the virtues and significance of months and dates in the Islamic calendar is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah's Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, per the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be from man. We have no right to assign importance or significance to dates in the calendar from our side. That is not, we don't have the permission to do that. We don't have the right to do that. That has already been decreed. It has already been affirmed by Allah and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, there is no room or scope for anyone to add or subtract any importance or significance to any Islamic month or Islamic dates. And the reason for mentioning this is that often we find that people from their own side give virtue to certain dates and months of the year, which Allah and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not given any significance to. For example, this very month of Muharram, the month of Muharram by itself is a very important month. It is a significant month. It is one of the sacred months. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these are arba'atun hurum, these are auspicious months, it means that good deeds are multiplied in reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than other months. And also sins and transgressions are also more heavier in this month than other months. Therefore we have to exert ourselves towards good deeds and abstain from evil deeds. May Allah forgive us, make our maghfirah, forgive all our sins, save us and protect us from committing those deeds that are reprehensible, that are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the month of Muharram by itself, overall it has got virtue. The fasting of Muharram has got virtue. Afdalus Siyam, Ba'da Ramadan, Shahrullahi al-Muharram, the best of fast after the month of Ramadan is the fasting of Muharram. And one narration it comes, Man Sama Yawman Min al-Muharram, Falahu Bikulli Yawmin, Thalathuna Yawman. He who fasts one day of Muharram, he gets the equivalent of 30 fasts for every fast that he keeps. Multiply 30 by 30, then it's equivalent to 900. A person can get the reward of 900 days of fasting for fasting in the month of Muharram. These are the virtues that have been assigned. But to add on now from our side extra, then that we do not have permission. There is no basis for that. So the principle to understand is that virtue and importance and significance of months and days comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human being has got a right to add virtue or significance, even if it is with a very good intention. It is not allowed. Unfortunately, in the history of Islam, we find that certain people, they thought they were doing good. They felt they were doing it with a good intention. To try to encourage people to do good deeds, they started fabricating ahadith, mawzu ahadith, unreliable, in fact, unacceptable, fake and fraudulent narrations, fabricated narrations, mawzu ahadith, on virtues of deeds. If you do this, you get this sawab, you get that sawab. On this day, you will get that reward, you will get that. It has got no basis. And one cannot assign virtues from one's own pocket. This is from Allah and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No human beings can assign virtues to deeds. Those deeds are by Allah, from Allah, for Allah. Therefore, the rewards also will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, people have attributed virtues to even the month of Muharram, especially relating to the day of Ashura, which I will discuss very shortly. But even the nights of Muharram, for example, there are people who consider, you know, the nights of Muharram, 10 nights of Muharram as big nights. On what basis? Who gave us the right to decide that these are big nights? Big days and big nights are only decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah has the right to decide what are the big days and big nights in the Islamic calendar. So that's one principle. Second principle we have to remember, and that is, not every big day is preceded by a big night, and not every big night is followed by a big day. There are instances where we will have certain days are considered big days in the calendar, but the night before that is not automatically a big night. And there are certain big nights in the calendar, but the day after that is not necessarily a big day. And there are certain nights and days that the day is also a big day and the night preceding it is also a big day. So we find all three examples in our deen, in our shariat. The example we take 15th of Shaban night, Laylatul Nisf min al-Shaban, or Shab-e Barat as it is referred to. It is a great night. It has significance undoubtedly. There are many narrations to support it. But it doesn't automatically follow that the day after that is a big day. Yes, if a person wants to fast on that day, for example, fasting in Shaban by itself, generally, is in line with the sunnah. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted the most after Ramadan in Shaban. And there are many reasons given also for that. But there is no significance on fasting on the 15th alone. Because the night was a big night, so automatically it's a big day after that. No. There is no big day after that. The night is a big night, but the day after that is not necessarily a big day. If somebody is fasting because Shaban we must fast, or we fast 13, 14, 15th of the Islamic months, Ayyamul Bees, the white days, where the moon is full, though there's virtue, it is in accordance with the Sunnah, then that is separate. But to consider that to fast on that day is because it's a big day, this is wrong. It is not allowed. And the ulama have explained all of this in great detail. Then we see, then comes to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The nights are big nights. The days of Ramadan are all big days. But it doesn't necessarily follow that every day after those nights, odd nights, is a big day in that sense. No. Then we got the third example of the night of Eid. Big night, undoubtedly. And the day after that is also a big day in our calendar. We look at the day of the nights of Zulhijjah. All very important nights, but the days are also important. And night of Eidul Adha, big night. The day of Eidul Adha is a big day. Like that, now we come to Ashura. The day of Ashura is a big day. But there's no significance to the night preceding Ashura. Yes, all the nights and the days of Muharram are very valuable in terms of reward. But it does not follow automatically that because Ashura is a big day, the night before is a big night. So therefore, attributing virtues to these nights of Muharram and people conduct certain activities and so forth in these nights, it has got no basis. They are not big nights in the Islamic calendar. So we have to keep this in front of us at all times because we should not introduce things in our deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not sanctioned. We have no right to do that. This is what is called innovation. This is what is called bid'ah. And kullu bid'atin dalala. Every bid'ah is a means of deviation. Wa kullu dalalatin finnar. And every deviation takes a person to hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us from going in the path of deviation. Allah keep us always on siratul mustaqim, on the straight path, the path of Quran, the path of Sunnah. So having mentioned that, we must understand that these days and nights, by virtue of being Muharram, it has got an extra significance over other months. And also, then we go down now to the 10th day of Muharram, which is known as Yawm Ashura, that day of Ashura. The day of Ashura has got a special significance, undoubtedly. And there are rewards for fasting on this day. There are rewards for spending on this day. There are rewards for engaging in ibadah on these days, because it is considered a big day in our calendar. And there are certain incidents or events that have occurred on Ashura that are established from authentic sources. We accept those incidents. We regard those incidents as accurate, correct, and we trace history of this day of Ashura back to some of those incidents. But at the same time, the same breath, like I mentioned earlier on, there have been a lot of fabrications relating to the day of Ashura. We have to be careful regarding that. A lot of things are attributed to Ashura, which Allah and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not attributed. So it will be considered wrong. It will be incorrect. We find that people speak about Ashura, certain additional virtues they grant to Ashura, which have not been confirmed by Allah and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is rejected. It's not accepted. For example, lots of incidents are related to the day of Ashura, which has got no basis. And the ulama, may Allah reward all our ulama, past, present, and even in the future, as being the guardians of this deen, as the protectors of this deen, as the guides of this ummah. The ulama are all the time guiding the ummah, showing the ummah the right path, showing the ummah the correct way. They have written books on the subject matter, on correcting all these misconceptions, removing all these misgivings, and giving the true and accurate picture. Lots of attributions are made to the day of Ashura. For example, some say that day of Qiyamah will take place on the day of Ashura. There is no narration to support that. Some people say that, you know, Allah accepted the Tawbah of Adam alayhi salam on this day. Ibrahim alayhi salam was taken out from the fire on this day. And Yusuf alayhi salam was reunited with his father on this day. And so many other such things. None of these have got any basis. We cannot attribute things which don't have basis. We're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to add masala from our side in our deen. We want to marinate and spice things up to make it sound nice. No, this is not allowed. We can't do that. We can't dramatize and sensationalize our deen. Our deen is as Allah and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have given it to us. That is what we have to stick to. So, these attributions are not correct. Also, we find that people have given such virtues regarding the day of Ashura that absolutely no basis at all. You do a certain deed, you'll get the sawab of so many hundred years, and this will happen and that will happen, and the person who puts surma on the day of Ashura, he won't have any eyesore or any pain in his eye for a whole year. All of these things have got no basis. To prepare a particular meal on the day of Ashura and to regard that as something of significance, it has got no basis. People put on a certain type of clothing or dressing in these days of Muharram, Ashura day, colors also they choose. There's no basis for that. There's nothing that is mentioned in the authentic sources regarding all of these things. Therefore, my dear friends, I'm repeating that let us stick to the original deen, the deen that is established through authentic sources, the narrations that have been authenticated by the great scholars of hadith, the muhaddithin, the fuqaha, the jurors. They have worked their whole life tirelessly to ensure that this deen reaches us in its pristine purity, and there are no innovations, there's no additions, alterations made to this deen of ours. The deen must reach and it must continue like this for generations to come, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because Allah is the protector and Allah is the real guardian of this deen. And Allah uses some of His servants to ensure that this deen of His will always be protected. And when some kinds of, deviations come in and some alterations and some moving away from the original sources happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends great men. Inna Allah yab'athu ala ra'si kulli mi'atin may yujaddidu laha deenaha. Every century Allah sends a mujaddid, a reviver of this deen. And the work of the reviver is to come and revive the deen, remove all of these add-ons and additions, and bring the deen to the ummah in its most pure and original and pristine form. So nevertheless, we were mentioning that there are many other attributions to the day of Ashura which are not established. People believe that to even make nikah in these days, it's not good. There's no barakah to make nikah in Muharram, to make nikah in Safar. There is no such a thing. It's absolutely baseless. And there's no grounds for this. Barakah in marriage doesn't come about as a result of which day or which month we choose. The barakah in marriage comes about through the following of the sunnah. Inna azaman nikahi barakah aysaruhu ma'una. The closer to the sunnah, the lesser the expenditure, the more simple, the more easy, straightforward, then the greater will be the barakah. It can be on any day of the week, it can be on any night of the week, it can be in any month of the year. It does not matter. So therefore, to believe that there's bad luck, these are all superstitions. These are baseless, these are groundless. They've got absolutely no basis in our deen. My dear friends, only a few matters are authenticated as far as the day of Ashura is concerned. Number one, The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave salvation to Nuh alayhi salam and his people after the deluge and the flood, then the ark of Nuh alayhi salam settled on Mount Judi, or which is today referred to as Mount Ararat. This is established that Nuh alayhi salam and his people attained najat and salvation on this day of Ashura. One. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave salvation to Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel from the tyranny of Fir'aun and his army on the day of Ashura. This is completely established. The authentic ahadith have the mention of this, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, then he noticed that the Jews were fasting on this particular day. So he inquired. And from this we learn an important principle also, that it is important to know the people around us, what they're doing, what are their practices, their traditions, so that we can appreciate what Allah has given us, and we can see the beauty of our deen. Again, as I mentioned in the beginning, that to always appreciate and value the beauty of this deen, to make shukr to Allah for that, so that Allah Ta'ala keeps us strong in our deen, and that we will live as Muslims, we die as Muslims. Allahumma, the narration, the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma fazni bil islami qa'ida, wahfazni bil islami qa'ima, wahfazni bil islami raqida, keep me safe and protected in my Islam whilst I'm standing, sitting, lying down. Allah, let me be in my deen, my Islam throughout my life. So we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was curious. He was very observant of what was happening around him. He asked, why are these people fasting? He was told that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave salvation to Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel on this day, as a token of thanksgiving, they were fasting on this day. So he said, nahnu ahaqqu bi Musa minhum. We are more worthy of following Musa alayhi salam than them. Therefore, we will fast. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on this day and right till the end of his life. But then, in fact, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking forward eagerly to any fast after Ramadan more than the fast of Muharram, the day of Ashura. And it is such a fast that it causes the sins of the previous year to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this day is also a day, what are we supposed to do on this day to spend on our family generously? There's no Ashura gifts, by the way. This is an innovation, another innovation to avoid. Then what is the difference between us and Christmas and the Christians giving Christmas gifts? Allah protect us. There's no Ashura gifts that I must give you a gift, you give me a gift, exchanging of gifts. No. Just to spend a little more on one's family on that day, in terms of the normal things that we buy a little extra, in our own immediate home, in our own family. There's no Ashura dawats, by the way, that you must invite this family and they will invite you. This is how the deviation starts off. It may appear quite innocent in the beginning, but later on it becomes a custom, and then it becomes an innovation. Allah protect us from these things. Just keep to the simple, straightforward way of Deenul Islam. So there's virtue on spending on the family. There's virtue of fasting. Then this is a day of hope for us. Look how Allah gave us hope in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. A new dawn, a brighter future, a hope of a good future, that after all the disbelievers were destroyed, Nuh alayhi salam and his followers, handful of them, a brand new world opened up for them. Musa alayhi salam and his people, after so much of zulm and oppression, Allah gave them a dawn of hope, a day of freedom and liberation from oppression. So this is a day of hope. On these days we should engage in excessive istighfar, tawbah, righteous deeds, amal salihah. Allah give us tawfiq to make best use of these days. Give out charity, give out sadaqah, spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engage in a lot of istighfar, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day. And one important thing that I wanted to mention regarding this day is that also coincidentally in the year 61 after Hijrah, the beloved grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was made shaheed with many members of Ahlul Bayt, 71 members of the Ahlul Bayt along with Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, made shaheed on this day. But this does not give the significance to Ashura because of that shahad. The significance of Ashura has always been there, even in the previous ummahs. Now, obviously, the ummah was shattered and heartbroken when they heard. And when we read about this, we are human beings, we have feelings. We feel for the nawasa of beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his shahada. So how do we express that sadness when we think about it? To give expression to that sadness, make isale sawab for Sayyidina Hussein and the Ahlul Bayt. How many of us have, for example, read one Quran khatam and conveyed the reward of that? Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali sometimes used to call his close companions in Muharram, ask them, you people say you got love for Ahlul Bayt, tell me how many khatams you made. Then they wouldn't have an answer. Hazrat Sheikh would say, so far, every day of Muharram I made one khatam and I conveyed the sawab to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is our way of expressing grief in the manner that is beneficial for us, for those that passed away. All other things are just drama and dramatization, and there's no room and place for that in Deenul Islam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.